everyone other than Robo and Bird to please mute yourselves, and then we'll begin.
Okay, thank you very much, everyone, for coming. We had so much fun the past 2 weeks discussing the halachas of Shmitas Ksafim and writing a prosbul that I thought that we would now discuss the mitzvah of Shvisas Haaretz. We'll discuss the mitzvah of Shmita, of allowing the land to rest during Shmita, and in some small way, we'll learn about it. Learning about the mitzvah is as if we fulfilled the mitzvah. And we'll actually discuss at the end, would it be an idea to purchase a small piece of land in Eretz Yisrael in order to allow the land to rest? Would there be such a concept? Would there be any kind of fulfillment at all, allowing the land to rest? So we'll get to that at the end. But let's first discuss the topic and see what the nature of the mitzvah is. I wanted to start with something unrelated to Shemitah in order to bring out a certain point. The Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, an opinion of Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai has a very novel opinion, something that would have made our lives very difficult had the halacha been like Beis Shammai, and we'll see how the Gemara deals with this halacha. Beis Shammai has a halacha referred to as Shvisas Kelim. Shvisas Kelim means that your property, your utensils, are not allowed to be working on Shabbos. Your utensils have to be idle. So imagine if I would leave my car running from before Shabbos. So nobody would say that I'm doing anything wrong. I left my car in park, and my car is running. It's in idle. It's running. The engine is on. So I'm not in any violation at all because I'm not doing anything. My car was turned on from before. Or let's say you have your...
The Shmias call we had by the
Shmias call. So Shmias call is where, yeah, there might be an Issid Rabbanon of Shmias call. I'm speaking about from a Deraisa perspective. There might be like a Maros Ayin or a Shmias call. There's a question what Shmias call is all about. Is it about that it's a Zilzal Shabbos? Is it about a Maros Ayin? But I'm discussing from a Deraisa perspective. If I would leave my car running from before Shabbos, there wouldn't be any Issid Deraisa going on. Or let's have a more common case. I have my crock pot burning from before Shabbos, and I'm cooking my chalent. So obviously, you're allowed to have your appliances running from before Shabbos, to have your dishwasher running, to have your washer dryer running. That might be an issue with Shmias Kol, like you said, Ezra. But if I have something which is commonly left on from before, that's okay. What if I have my lights on Shabbos? I have my dining room lights on, so the electricity is running, and I'm causing my utensils or my appliances are operating on Shabbos, so we do that all the time. However, according to Beis Shammai darshens a pasuk. It's a pasuk actually in Parshas Mishpatim. The pasuk says, "Ubekol asher amarti aleichem tishameru." The pasuk says, "You have to keep everything that I say." Hashem says, "You have to keep all the mitzvahs that I commanded you." This is a pasuk in Parshas Mishpatim. So Beis Shammai has a drasha l'rabois shvisas kelim. So Beis Shammai says that pasuk is coming to create, to introduce a novel concept of Shvisas Kelim. Says Beis Shammai, Tzorach Kelim Lios Nach. Your utensils, your appliances, have to rest. You're not allowed to even have your appliances operate on Shabbos. And there would actually be a prohibition if my utensil would be operating, would be Oyved B'Shabbos, would be operating on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. The Gemara asks in Maseches Shabbos, so how can you have your Gigas? A gigas is a vat. So sometimes you're soaking your flax in a vat and it's processing the flax, or you have something in a machine, you have something that's been operating from before in a machine. How can you have a nair? How could you have your flame? How can you have your candle burning on Shabbos? How are you allowed to have your candle and your wick kindling on Shabbos? What about a kedera? How are you allowed to have your crock pot going on Shabbos? How can you have your oven on Shabbos? Or your shvud? What about a spit? You have a piece of meat barbecuing from before Shabbos. As long as you observe the laws of Shehiya and Chazara, as long as you have a blech, or you have the equivalent of a blech, in those days, the halacha would be that you're allowed to have something roasting from before Shabbos into the Shabbos, and you'll take it off the fire on Shabbos. How can Beis Shammai permit these things? These are maisim b'chol yom. These are things that people do every single day, every single week, week upon week, people have their appliances, their fire, their flames operating from before Shabbos. How does Beshameh deal with that? Beshameh holds that there's an iser of shvisas kelim. Beshameh holds that your utensils have to be idle. You're not allowed to have your utensils working on Shabbos. So the Gemara answers, fascinating, the mafgaluhu afkure, that according to Beshameh, one of the things on your Friday to-do list, you know, you have on your list, take out the garbage, you have on your list, make sure the lights are set properly, all of the things, make sure the candlesticks are set properly. One of the things on your to-do list in Beshameh's house would be, make sure you're mafkir, make sure you declare ownerless all of your utensils and appliances. Anything that you're going to have operating on Shabbos, be sure to be mafkir it before Shabbos, because you can't, your kelim are not allowed to be operating on Shabbos. Now, lucky for us, Beis Hillel argues on Beis Shammai, and the halacha follows Beis Hillel, that there's no prohibition against your utensils operating on Shabbos, provided that you didn't have any violation, provided that you arranged the utensil from before, and of course that there's no other peripheral prohibitions involved with Maariv Zayin. The halacha is you're allowed to have your utensils operating on Shabbos. However, now, before we get to what's applicable to us, Tosfos actually goes into detail. The Gemara in the Nedarim says that in order to effect a proper hefker, in order to really declare something ownerless, and in order for that item to no longer be considered yours, you have to declare it hefker in front of three people. Because three people is considered public, just like we have in Baba Basra. If you would like to make a macha, if you want to object to a squatter, somebody sitting on your property, it has to be considered public. So you have to make a macha in front of three. You have to be mafker in front of three people in order to demonstrate that it's a sincere hefker, that you really intend to declare it ownerless. It's not just a ritual. It's not just something that you're doing as a fake. You have to declare it ownerless in front of three people. So Tosfos says that although technically you require three people, that's just to demonstrate your sincerity. But over here, according to Beis Shammai, you would not require three people every time, because mistama mafdilhu, because everybody knows in the world of Beis Shammai that you don't want to unnecessarily be in violation. You want to be compliant with this halacha. So the assumption is you're mafkir. The only reason why you normally need three people to be mafkir is because you have to demonstrate your sincerity. Over here, even in the privacy of your own home, there's no reason to assume you would want to be in violation. You want to be in compliance. And therefore, mistama mafkiluhu, it was assumed in the world of Beis Shammai, in Beis Shammai's camp, that everybody would be mafkir their kelim, and it wouldn't require three people. You know where this question comes up, that you should require three people for hefker? It comes up by bittel chametz. If you consider nullifying your chametz to be an act of hefker, you should require three people. So perhaps Tosfos would say the same answer, that although hefker normally needs to be done publicly, but you don't have to be mafker your chametz publicly, because mistama mafkaluhu, just like according to Beis Shammai, the assumption is you're mafker your appliances, so the same thing would apply to your chametz also. Now, not everybody agrees with Tosfos, and some people say that you actually have to be mafkir your property in front of three people midoraisa. It's not just to demonstrate your sincerity, but it's a rule that the hefker has to be done in front of three. So according to those poskim, Beis Shammai would actually require you to be mevatelet in front of three people, and others say, the Bach says, at least in front of one person. But it's a real deal. It would be an issue that in order to properly declare your appliances hefker, you might have to call up every time, every Friday, you would have to summon three people and be mafker your appliances in front of the three people. Now, there's a very similar halacha that we actually do follow. It's not so relevant to us, but there's a halacha brought in Or HaChaim, Simen Reish Mem Vav, so chapter 246, that there's a halacha according to everyone, even according to Beis Hillel, even according to the halacha, of Shvisas Behemtoi. The pasuk says, you have to rest, you and your wife have to rest, Avdecha Va'amasecha, your servants and your maidservants have to rest, and Uvhemtecha, and your animals have to rest. You're not allowed to have your animals performing malacha for you on Shabbos. Imagine if you would hitch your donkey to a millstone, and you would have somehow entice your animal to work on Shabbos. Maybe you set up some kind of a contraption that in order for the animal to get its food, it has to walk, and that would cause it to grind the wheat. You're not allowed to have your animal perform malacha. Imagine if there's no Erev in the city, so you send your dog out to fetch the newspaper Shabbos morning. Now, I'm not condoning reading a newspaper on Shabbos. I'm not commenting on that. But there would be a prohibition of shvises behemtoi, having your dog go out to fetch the newspaper if there's no Erev, because just like you're not allowed to carry on Shabbos, you're not allowed to have your dog carry for you on Shabbos either. And there's a whole perek in Misha Hechshech in the later prakim of Masechta Shabbos that if a person is traveling and it becomes Shabbos, what's the best of the two evils? Should he carry his luggage himself on Shabbos? Of course not. So the Gemara has a whole method where you can place your suitcase on the animal after the animal already started walking. That way your animal did not perform an akira. The animal did not pick up the object, and then every time your animal stops, you would have to pick up the suitcase and wait for the animal to start walking in order to place the suitcase back on the animal after the animal is walking, in order that the animal did not perform an akira, did not start the malacha of walking. So it would be a real issue. So it says in Halacha Orech Chaim Reish Mem Vav that you're forbidden to rent your animal to a non-Jew, or to lend your animal to a non-Jew sometime during the week, if you know that the animal will be performing malacha on Shabbos. So if the non-Jew is going to take your donkey, he rents your donkey, or you lend your neighbor your donkey, and your non-Jewish neighbor is going to be performing malacha with the animal on Shabbos, that will be a violation of the owner, even though the owner has nothing to do with the malacha being performed. But there's a mitzvah of shvisas behemtoi. There's a mitzvah that your animal is not allowed to be doing malacha on Shabbos. Now, the Gemara says that anything that benefits the animal is allowed to graze. Even though you're not allowed to harvest on Shabbos, your animal would be allowed to graze in the pastures on Shabbos because it has to be a nayach, it has to be a pleasant rest for the animal. So the animal is allowed to do whatever it wants for itself. But you're not allowed, with human intervention, whether it's the owner or whether it's a neighbor, you're not allowed to having your animal working to benefit someone if it's not something that the animal wants to do on its own. So what happens if a person gave his animal to a non-Jew and he stipulated that the non-Jew should give it back before Shabbos, and somehow the non-Jew never showed up? So you become aware that the non-Jewish neighbor has your donkey on Shabbos. So we have the same issue that we just discussed in the Gemara regarding Beis Shammai, because everybody agrees that there's a prohibition of shvisas behemta, uv hemtecha, the pasuk says. So again, you have to be mafkir the animal, and the Shulchan Aruch says, at the very least, be mafkir the animal privately, because at least you'll fulfill the deraisa of being mafkir, according to Tosfos. And the Mishnah Berurah brings, another place can bring, that if you subscribe to the opinion that you require three for the hefker to be effective, or at least one, then you would be obligated to be mafkir your animal in the presence of three, or in the presence of at least one. Another thing you can do is you can go over to the non-Jew, and you can say, I would like to give you my animal as a gift for the duration of Shabbos, in order that I shouldn't be in any violation. However, like you said before, there would be issues of maris ayin. This is not something that should be done routinely because there will be issues of maris ayin and so forth. Therefore, it would be prohibited to lend your animal to a non-Jew over Shabbos. You have to stipulate with a tanai kafel u'mechupel that you want him to return the animal before. According to Beis Shammai, that you have to have shvisas kelim. So a person would be running a car service or a car rental. He wouldn't be allowed. It would be subject to the same halachas. He wouldn't be allowed to rent his car out to a non-Jew from before Shabbos for over the weekend, because you are not allowed to have your utensils or your appliances working on Shabbos. So it would be a big deal that shvisas kelim would preclude a lot of different activities that were common. And this would apply to a behema as well. Now, the reason why I brought all that in is to show a concept that sometimes there's a halacha, there's a mitzvah, for your utensils to be idle or for your animal to be idle. And if your animal is working, even if it's not my fault, it's someone else working my animal, I am in violation. I am obligated to make sure, to see to it, that my animal is resting on Shabbos. So now we come to the mitzvah of Shemitah. Shvisas karka b'shvias. So the pasuk says, there are actually two psukim in Parashas Vayikra, in Sefer Vayikra, Perek Chafhei, in Parashas Bahar, Aleph through Zayin. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yomarto aleihem. So these are the psukim regarding Shemitah. Item Dalit in the notes. Kisavo el ha'aretz, when you enter the land, asher ani noisein lochem, the land that I am giving you, says Hashem, v'shavsa ha'aretz shabbos l'Hashem, the land shall rest. It's a Shabbos to Hashem. Sheish shonim tizra sodecha, for 6 years you should plant your field, v'sheish shonim tizmor karmecha, and for 6 years you shall prune your vineyard, yosafta es tivuasa, and you should gather all its produce, gizuntahed. However, ubishana hashvias, on the 7th year, shabbos shabboson yel oretz, the land should rest. It's a Shabbos. Shabbos l'Hashem. I once read somewhere that Rav Kahaneman, the Panovik Sharov, when he went to Eretz Yisrael, it happened to be a Shemitah year, he would go to all the trees and he would kiss the trees and he would say good Shabbos to all the trees during the Shemitah year, because the idea of Shabbos of Hashem on the land, it really hit home to him that we're instilling ourselves with emunah that Hashem created the land, just like we keep Shabbos every week to remind ourselves that Hashem created the earth, that Hashem created the universe, and we have to dedicate everything to Hashem. So once every 7 years, we have to dedicate the land to Hashem. So Rabbi Yosef Kahaneman would go around wishing all the trees a good Shabbos, because it serves as a reminder to us that Hashem created everything. So we have in the Psukim here, V'shavsa ha'aretz, u'bashana hashviyas Shabbos shabbosin yel ha'aretz, on the 7th year, there you shall declare a Shabbos for the land, Shabbos l'Hashem. And now we have a negative commitment. Sadcho le'tizra, you're not allowed to plant your field. You can't sow your field. The karmachol le'sizmor, you cannot prune your vineyard. Asfiach ketzircha le'siktzor, you cannot harvest the wild growths of your field. Yes, invei nezirecha le'siktzor, it's difficult to translate this pasuk. Any of the grapes that you've been guarding for yourself, you can't harvest. Shnash shabbosin yela oretz, we should declare the land a year of shabbosin, Shabbos, to the land. So there's actually here two mitzvahs. There's a positive commandment which we fulfill by allowing the land to lie fallow. Shavsa ha'aretz, the land has to lay fallow, has to rest. The shavsa ha'aretz, it's a positive commandment that we fulfill by allowing the land to remain fallow. And then there's also a negative commandment. If the person sadcha le'tizra, you're not allowed to plant your field. Ketzircha le'siktzor, you can't harvest. Sadcha le'sizra, karmacha le'sizmor, you can't prune. So there's a positive element, just like on Shabbos. There's a positive element to rest. And there's also a negative. There's a loisaseh if the person performs malacha, so that person will be in violation of a loisaseh. There's a minchas chinuch in mitzvah kuf yud beis. The minchas chinuch writes, and I quoted it here, let's learn it together in item hey. Let's go through this paragraph of the minchas chinuch. Says the Minchas Chinuch, mitzvahs shvisas oretz v'shasa shmita. This is the mitzvah of allowing the land to rest on the shas shmita. Now, the Minchas Chinuch takes it on as a davar pashut. He takes it for granted that there's a mitzvah to allow the land to rest, and if the land is performing malacha, it's like shvisas kelim or shvisas behemtoi, that the owner is in violation, even if he's not the one who's responsible for the land being worked. So says the Minchas Chinuch the following, Veda, he says, you shall know. The Shvias be'inyin echad, in one way, says the Minchas Chinuch, Shemitah is chamura mishabes v'yamtif. The forbidden labors on Shemitah, in a way, is more severe, more chamur than Shabbos and Yamtif. Why? The b'Shabbos v'yamtif ike iser al ha'oisim malacha ba'atzma. When it comes to Shabbos and Yamtif, the prohibition is on the gavra. The prohibition is on the man, on the person who's performing the malacha. So if I cook on Shabbos, I am violating Shabbos for cooking. My utensils aren't doing anything wrong. We don't pass it like Beishamai. If I perform a malacha on Shabbos, if I plow the land, if I plant the land, if I write, so I am violating Shabbos. Aval al yedei goy. But if you ask a non-Jew to perform malacha, hu rak shvus. It's an isur derabbanan. Amira lenachri. We talked about that once. We learned about that together. That amira lenachri is a rabbinic prohibition. We don't want you asking a non-Jew to do something that you can't do yourself. But you're not in any biblical violation if you ask a non-Jew. The prohibition is on the gavra. It's on the man. It's a violation that you're actively violating. It's not that you can't have the malacha being done from a deraisa perspective. Ach b'shabes yesh asei de behem toi tzricho lishpas. The one exception, says the Minchas Chinuch on Shabbos, is what we've discussed, that you're not allowed to have your animal working. Even if somebody else is responsible for working your animal, it's incumbent upon you, the owner, to see to it that your animal is not worked. So you would be in violation of Shvisas Behemtoi, even if you're not the one responsible for the animal to be working. That's the one exception. But all the other malachas of Shabbos is only if you are violating Shabbos yourself. Imashil oy masker behemto legoy, if you rent or you lend your animal to a non-Jew, oyver mishum shvises behemtoi ba'asei, then you're violating this special halacha of shvises behemtoi. The gozer hakasuf, because Hashem decreed, the behemtoi asura b'malacha, that your animal is not allowed to work, even if it's not the owner who's causing the animal to work, but you have to see to it that your animal is nach, is resting. And the same thing applies according to Beishamai, that your utensils and your appliances have to be resting. Shlisas kelim. The amakli oisim alocha oivrim habaylim ba'aseh. According to Beishamai, if your utensil, your appliance, is operating on Shabbos, the owner is in violation of an aseh, even though he's not physically doing anything. But the other malachas of Shabbos, says the Minchas Chinuch, charisha, plowing, zriya, planting, oivrim im oisa ba'atzmai. You're only in violation if you perform the malacha yourself. Aval al yedei goy eino oivr klal. But if a non-Jew performs the violation on your behalf, the owner, the beneficiary, is not in any violation at all. From a deraisa perspective, there's an amira lenachri, there's a rabbinic prohibition that you shouldn't ask a non-Jew to do something. Now, ubishmita, says the Minchas Chinuch, shmita is more severe than Shabbos in this regard. Why? Im oisa avoidas haaretz. If you perform a labor of the land, kegoin shechoyrish sadeyu, you plow, oy zoreya, or you plant, oy koitzer, or you harvest al yidei goy. So nihi, it's true. The haloitase shalavoides haaretz einoy. You're not in violation of the negative commandment, because what does the pasuk say? The pasuk says it belashen noichach. The pasuk says sadcho loisizra. You may not plant your field. The pasuk says regarding Shemitah, in venizirecha loisivtzor, you can't do certain types of harvesting. It says in the pasuk, karmacha loisizmor, you cannot prune. So it's true that the negative commandments, you're only in violation of the loisase if you perform the malacha yourself. However, ba'asei oivir b'kol avoides karka fil ayideyachim. But the Minchas Chinuch takes it for granted that the positive aspect of Shemitah, v'shavsa ha'aretz, or shabasa niyel ha'aretz, that the land has a Shabbos, the land must rest, v'shavsa ha'aretz, that's a gzeres ha'kasev, that the land must rest. Just like we're mitzvah on Shvisas Behema, he says, or Shvisas Kelim according to Beishamai, Kein muzharin al Shvisas ha'aretz b'Shemitah, so too, we have to allow the land to rest on Shemitah. So the Minchas Chinuch's Shita is that Shemitah has two aspects to it. There are certain prohibitions on the Gavra, that whether you own the land or not, if you're going to plow the land or you're going to prune the vineyard and plant, sow the field, you're in violation, you did malacha. However, if you're the owner of a land and someone else is working the land, says the Minchas Chinuch, the owner is in violation anyway. Even though he's not the one doing any malacha, it's worse than Shabbos. You're not just in violation of Amira Lenachri, that it's rabbinic. You shouldn't ask a non-Jew to do something you can't do yourself. You're actually violating a deraisa. You're not being compliant with a mitzvah aseh, Bishavsa Aretz, your land has to rest. If it's not your land, you're not achroi. It's not your responsibility. If it's your land, then you're achroi to see to it that the land rests. Now, the Marshal says the same thing in Chaf Mashloim in Bab Metzia. So Toisvis in Bab Metzia says that there's an Isser Amira Lenachri. You're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to plow or plant the land. So Toisvis would actually seem to argue on the Minchas Chinuch, because Toisvis says that there's a prohibition of Amira Lenachri. It's the regular, ordinary prohibition that you're not allowed, the rabbinic prohibition, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to perform the labors of the land on Shemitah. But the Marshal feels so strongly about this, and he signs with what we just learned in the Minchas Chinuch, that he actually changes the girsa of the Toisvis. And the Marshal writes in the Chachma Shlema on that Toisvis that Bekol Meseches Moed Katan, that in the entire Mesechta of Moed Katan is the Mesechta that discusses the laws of Avelus, it discusses the laws of Chalam Moed, it also discusses the laws of Shemitah. In the entire Mesechta, Lo Nizkur Amira Lekusi B'Shvias, the Shari, the Aser Oy Deshari. So the Marshal points out that in the entire Meseches Moed Katan, which discusses the laws of Shemitah, you'll never find mentioned that there's an Isser Amira Lenachri, the prohibition of asking a non-Jew to work the land. You know why, says the Marshal? Because Shemitah is worse. Afilu im toimar shemutter b'shabbos. Because, says the Marshal, even had there never been an Isser of Amira Lenachri at all, it still would be forbidden on Shemitah. The fish hashvias tola Hashem yisbarach kedusha ba'aretz. Because Hashem put kedusha into the land, as it says, Shabbos, Shabbos, and Yel Aretz, v'havin. And the Marshal says, understand this well. So the Marshal sides with the Minchas Chinuch to such an extent that he changes the girsa in Toisvis. Toisvis says that there's the ordinary Isser Amira Lenachri, that just like you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to perform, to turn a light on for you on Shabbos, you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew, you certainly can't hire a non-Jew to work the field. Why? Because the sages, there's an Isser Derabanan of Amira Lenachri. The Marshal goes ahead and says, he objects. He says that Toisvis can't mean that, because in the entire Maseches Moed Katan, you never find the prohibition of Amira Lenachri mentioned. Why? Because it's much more fundamental than that. It's not just a rabbinic prohibition that you can't ask the non-Jew to do something that you can't do yourself. You're in violation of a mitzvah asei midoraisa if you have a non-Jew working your land, because your land simply has to rest. You're the owner of the land. You have an achrayas. You have a responsibility to see to it that the land rests on Shemitah. If someone else is working your land, whether you instructed him to do or not, you are in violation of a mitzvah saseh. If it's an oinus, if you can't stop him, you can't stop him. But if it's within your power to stop him, you have a mitzvah saseh to see to it that your land rests. So it would be redundant to say that there's an Isser Amira Lenachri, that you're not allowed to ask a non-Jew to plow the land, because it goes much deeper than that. There would be an Isser Do'iraisa to ask the non-Jew to do the land, because there's a mitzvah of Vishavsa Aretz, there's a mitzvah saseh. Now, there's an interesting Shubas Marit who seems to assume the opposite. The Marit says in Chelik Beis, Simen Nun Beis, Shubas Marit, and I quoted the Marit here as well, Imutr lahaskir sadeu la'akam b'loy ema de'adarnuna, that are you allowed to hire a non-Jew to work your field on Shemitah? So says the Marit, the Havla Shari, that as long as you didn't specifically ask him to do it on Shemitah, you rented the land to a non-Jew, you hired a non-Jew to work the land, let's say for 6 years or for 7 years, the whole Shemitah cycle, or 2 or 3 years that straddled the Shemitah along with other years. So says the Marit, that as long as it was b'havla, afa pi shebishana shvias atzma lo shayach havla, even though the seventh year itself, within the seventh year itself, you wouldn't be havla means that you're hiring him to you're renting your field to a non-Jew, not just for the Shemitah year itself, but you're renting it for the sixth year, the seventh year, and the eighth year. Let's say, even though you can't rent it to him directly for the seventh year, but as long as you create, you bundle it, as long as you create a package and you rent it to him for the 6th year and the 7th year, you're allowed to accept the rent of the 7th year, says the Marit, because as long as you don't rent it lehedya, as long as you don't explicitly rent it exclusively for the 7th year, you're allowed to take money for renting. Clearly, you see from the Marit that he doesn't even raise the issue that what about your land resting? What about the fact that your land has to rest? Forget about the issue of taking money, renting out your field for the Shemitah year. What about the fact that your land has to rest? I'm not allowed to rent my animal out for Shabbos because my animal has to rest. Forget about Schar Shabbos. You're not allowed to rent your animal out for Shabbos. Even if you rented your animal out, Bahavlah, even if you rented your animal out for Friday, Shabbos, and Sunday, you have to, that's illegal. You have to make sure the animal is resting on Shabbos. So how could the Marit discuss renting out your field for years 6, 7, and 8 with Havlah, that you absorb the Shemitah year into the years preceding it and following it? You're not allowed to have your land worked on Shemitah. Your land has to rest. So clearly the Marit argues on the Minchas Chinuch and the Marshal, and the Marit would seem to side with the simple reading of Tosfos in Maseches Bava Metzia, that there is no requirement for your land to be resting on Shemitah. It's all a prohibition on the Gavra. Now, this machloikis in the Achronim between the Minchas Chinuch and the Marshal on one side and the Marit on the other side is also a machloikis rishonim. So it's very interesting that this machlekes in the Poskim and the Minchas Chinuch, we can find this machlekes already in the times of the Rishonim, and it all depends on how, on the simple reading of a Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah. It's fascinating that such a basic question, it depends on simply how you read the Gemara in Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara like this. Now there's a halacha that we touched on it. You're not allowed to even sell a behemah gasa to a non-Jew. So nowadays, some of these halachas don't apply because it's impossible. Commerce, a lot of these halachas, the Gemara tells us, were waived. But technically, you're not allowed to sell a behemah gasa. You can't sell a cow, an ox, a donkey. You're not allowed to sell labor-performing animals to a non-Jew. Why? Because we're afraid that the non-Jew is going to take the animal for a test drive, and it's going to be on a Friday, and it turns out that your animal is working for you on Shabbos, right? So if I would have sold the animal to a non-Jew free and clear, so then it's not my animal anymore. But what if the animal is still belongs to me, the non-Jew is taking it for a test drive, he wants to see how it works, so there's a gzeira, you might lend it to him instead of selling it, and he'll perform halacha on Shabbos. So back in the days of the Gemara, there was a prohibition to sell a behemah gasa lest you come to lend it to him or lest he takes it for a test drive before Shabbos. However, the Gemara says that you're allowed to sell a cow to a non-Jew. Rav Huna zaven hahi parah lo evikachav. So in spite of what we just said, Rav Huna sold a cow to a non-Jew. This is item ches in the notes. So Omar le Rav Chista asked the Yavi's question, my time of it marhachi, how are you allowed to do that? Didn't we just say that you're not allowed to sell a pack animal to a non-Jew because we're afraid that before the sale is finalized, somehow your animal is going to be working on Shabbos? So Omar le, so Rav Huna defended his actions, Emar le Shechita Zavna, that I'm allowed to assume that he's going to shecht the animal. So Rav Huna is being machadish that the only time you can't sell an animal to a non-Jew is if it's clear that he plans to work with the animal. But if you have a tlia, if you have an assumption, if it's 50-50, or if there's a good chance that he'll shech the animal, then you're allowed to sell the animal to the non-Jew because you're not selling it to him to work. You're selling it to him to shech. He doesn't have to shech, obviously, but you're selling it to him to eat. He's going to eat it. He's not going to work with the animal. So Rav Huna is being machadish that as long as there is a permissible use, you're allowed to sell it to the non-Jew, and you're allowed to assume that he's going to use it for the permissible use, and you're not in violation. The only time the sages prohibit you from selling an animal to the non-Jew is if it's clear that he's going to be working with the animal. Then we're afraid that it'll wind up that your animal is working on Shabbos while before the sale was finalized. But if there's a tliya, if you can justify the sale by saying that you thought he would shecht it, he would eat it, then it's okay. So says the Gemara, Minot Tamer Darin Ki Agav. How do you know that you're allowed to do something which seemingly is forbidden as long as you have a tliya, as long as you can assume that the person is not going to be using it for forbidden uses? So the Gemara says, because Beishamai says you're not allowed to sell an animal, a plowing animal, on Shemitah to somebody who's suspect. If you're living in Eretz Israel and your next door neighbor is suspect to violate the laws of Shemitah, you can't sell him a cow because it's like Lifnei Iver. You're putting a stumbling block before the blind. You might be facilitating his violation of working the land on Shemitah. However, Beis Hillel's Matirin. Beis Hillel permits it. Why? Even though it's true that if I sell an animal to a suspect Shemitah violator, I'm causing him to sin, but I can just assume, ignorance is bliss. I can just assume that he bought the animal to Shecht. Why do I have to assume, says Beis Hillel, that he's going to be purchasing the animal to do an Avera of working the animal on Shemitah, of plowing? Why can't I just assume that he's buying the animal to Shecht? So what do you see from Beis Hillel? That just like I can sell the animal to a suspect Shemitah violator, because I'm allowed to just assume that he's going to Shecht it, why do I have to think the worst? So too, you can sell your animal to a non-Jew, and you can assume he's purchasing the animal just to eat it. Who says he's going to be working the animal on Shabbos? So Omar Rabba says, how can you compare? Mi dami. Hasam ein oda mitzuva al shvises behemtoi b'shvies. When it comes to Shemitah, even worst case scenario, that the person is using the cow to plow, the cow, there's no violation in terms of the cow. The cow is just a utensil. So the suspect is violating Shemitah with the cow that he bought. But the cow itself is not a forbidden object. However, on Shabbos, hacha adam mitzuva al shvises behemtoi b'shabbos, when it comes to Shabbos, if I sell my animal to a non-Jew and he works with the animal before the sale was finalized, I'm in violation because I have to allow the cow to work. So the Gemara has a back and forth. Are you allowed to just go about your merry way? Are you allowed to sell a cow to a non-Jew and just assume he's going to be eating the cow as opposed to working with the cow on Shabbos? So the Gemara makes a comparison. Just like you can sell your cow to a Shemitah suspect, according to Beis Hillel, because you're allowed to assume, you don't have to think the worst, you're allowed to assume that he's going to eat the cow, he's shechting the cow, so too you can sell your cow to a non-Jew, you don't have to assume he's going to be working it on Shabbos. The Gemara says there's a big difference between selling your cow to a non-Jew on Shabbos and a cow on Shemitah. Why? Because on Shabbos, even worst case scenario, the cow is not causing any violation. The person's violating. But on Shabbos, the cow working on Shabbos would be a violation for the owner. So finally, and this is the conclusion of the Gemara, Abaye responds, Kohecha the other mitzvah aser, anytime the owner is in violation, it's forbidden. Hare sada, what about a field? Other mitzvah, now this is the key word. Adam mitzuva al shvisa sadeu b'shvias. You're required to allow your field to rest on Shemitah. And it says, Beishamayoimrim lo yimkur adam sadeh nir b'shvita. You're not allowed to sell a field to a suspect on Shemitah. But Beis Hillel says you're allowed to, because who says that he's going to be working the field? Maybe he's just going to allow the field to lie fallow, and he's purchasing the field for the purposes of after Shemitah. So there we have it. The Gemara clearly is comparing selling an animal to a non-Jew, where the issue is that he'll be working the animal on Shabbos. The Gemara is clearly comparing that to selling a piece of land to a Shemitah suspect, where the person might be working the land on Shemitah. And the Gemara in both cases says that your mitzvah al shvisas behemtoi, you have an obligation and a achrayas to see to it that your animal is resting, and the Gemara seems to very clearly be making an analogy that you have a responsibility to see to it that your land lies fallow and that your land shouldn't be worked. And that's actually what Rashi says. Rashi says, Ado mitzuva al shvisa sadehu, in item tes, shnas shabasun yeh la'aretz. that the land has to rest. So Rashi, clearly in the Rishonim, Rashi says clearly black and white, like the Minchas Chinuch and like the Marshal, that on Shemitah, the land has to rest. Even if somebody else is working your land, you're in violation because the land has to rest. And the Tosfos Rid in Maseches Avodah Zarah says exactly that. He says that according to Rashi, the Tosfos Rid asks it as a question and gives it as an answer. The Tosfos Rid asks, how can Rav Huna compare selling an animal to a non-Jew on Shabbos, where the issue is that the animal is not allowed to work? How can Rav Huna compare that to selling land to a suspect where there's no prohibition that the land is not allowed to be worked? So says the Tosfos Rid, no, because even on Shemitah, the land is not allowed to work. The Nafgalon, Mishabbos Shabbos, and Yeh La'aretz. And it's forbidden, says the Tosfos Rid, to rent your land out to a non-Jew because the land is not allowed to work. Shabbos, there's no such prohibition, but on Shemitah, there's such a prohibition. So the Gemara's analogy between selling your animal to a non-Jew where he might work it on Shabbos would be completely analogous to selling your land to a Shemitah suspect where he might be working the land and the owner, the original owner, would be in violation of having caused the land to work. That's the Tosfos Rid. So if we go back to the original question, clearly Rashi and the Tosfos Rid, early Rishonim, side with the opinion of the Minchas Chinuch and the Marshal that it would be forbidden to hire a non-Jew to work your land biblically because Shabbos Shabbosin Liyeh La'aretz, the land has to rest. However, Tosfos in Maseches Avodah Zarah learns the Gemara differently than Rashi. So Tosfos in Avodah Zarah learns that the analogy between selling an animal, again, the proof was that the Gemara makes an analogy between selling your animal to a non-Jew, where clearly, if the animal works on Shabbos, it's a violation on behalf of the owner, on the part of the owner, to selling your land to a Shemitah suspect. Tosfos says that it's not a clear analogy. It's not a perfect analogy. Tosfos says that it's a loose analogy, just like when you sell your animal to a non-Jew. Working the animal on Shabbos would be a violation of the original owner. That's true. The Gemara is making a loose analogy. Selling your land to a Shemitah suspect, you are causing the buyer to be in violation when he works the land. So the Gemara says you can't compare land to a cow. If I sell a cow to a Shemitah violator, when he works the cow, the violation is not with the cow. The cow is just a shovel. The violation is between him and his land. The cow is just a medium. The cow is just a utensil. It's just a kli. But when you're selling land to a Shemitah suspect, the buyer will be in violation because you're selling him something that will actually be the Avera. It'll actually cause the buyer to sin. So Tosfos clearly is differentiating between the animal on Shabbos and the Shemitah land. The animal on Shabbos is a violation for the original owner because he's causing his animal to work. But the Shemitah violation would not be a violation for the original owner. It would simply be a violation for the buyer because the buyer is not allowed to work the land on Shemitah. So Tosfos clearly is steering clear from a direct analogy. And Tosfos is just saying that it's a loose analogy, that if you sell your land to a Shemitah suspect, he'll be in violation when he works the land. So that means that Tosfos would hold, like the Marit, that technically you would be allowed to rent your land to a non-Jew on Shemitah, because as long as he's doing the malacha for himself and not me, I'm not in any violation. There's no such thing that you have to allow your land to work. It's all a prohibition on the Gavra. And that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says in Hilchos Shemitah B'Yovel Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, like the Tosfos, in item Yud Beis. Let's read the Lashon of the Rambam together. Mitzvahs asei lishbois b'shona shvias mi'avoidas ha'oretz mi'avoidas ha'ilamis. It's a positive commandment to abstain from working the land and working the trees on Shemitah, as it says v'shav sa'oretz Shabbos Lashem, and it says b'charish u'b'katzir tishbois. Now here's the key. Kol ha'oisa malacha. So look at the Lashon of the Rambam. So I bolded. Kol ha'oisa malacha. anyone who performs labor, miavoides ha'aretz oyo ilonis b'shanazu, anybody who performs labor from among the forbidden labors on the land or the trees, bitul mitzvah saseh, he nullified a positive commandment, and he's in violation of alois saseh, like it says, sotcha le'tizra karma alois sizma. What do we see from the Rambam? That he puts the asay and the lois asay together. The one who worked the land, not the owner of the field, not the one whose land is not idle, the one who's actually working the land, whether he's the owner or whether he's someone else, the worker of the land, the laborer of the land, is in violation of lois asay. It says in the pasuk lois sizmor, you can't prune. And he's also in violation of the positive commandment because the pasuk is an asay to not work the land. The oisa malacha, the one who did the malacha, who performed the malacha, he's in violation of the asay and the lois asay. So the Rambam and the Tosfos clearly say that both the asay and the lois asay are on the gavra. It's a prohibition on the person, the laborer, for performing the forbidden labors of a land in the form of an asay and in the form of a lois asay. However, Rashi and the Tosfos Rid split it up. The lois asay is on the gavra. Whoever is performing the labor is in violation. However, there's a positive commandment incumbent on the owner to allow the land to rest. So imagine if I own a piece of land in Eretz Israel and somebody else is planting grass on the field in Shemitah. He's in violation. The laborer is in violation of the lois asay. You can't plant. But me, sitting back here in Philadelphia, I will be in violation of the asay of not forcing my land to rest, of not exerting my authority, of not fulfilling the mitzvah of allowing the land to rest. But according to the Rambam, whoever is the one who's working the field, he's the one who's violating the lois asay and the asay. So the original machlokes between the Minchas Chinuch and the Marit and the Marshal, it turns out that there's a machlokes, the Rashi and the Tosfos and the Rambam, about this. Is there such a mitzvah at all of Shlisas Haaretz that the land inherently has to rest? And the truth is that the simple reading of the Gemara would imply, like Rashi, the Pasuk said, the Gemara says that on Shemitah, you're obligated in Shvisas Haaretz. But the Rambam and Tosfos apparently had a different reading of the Gemara. The simple reading of the Gemara would be like Rashi and the Tosfos read. In item Yud Gimel, so the Achroinim are the more later authorities, like the Chazon Ish and Rav Kook, all the poiskim, the more recent poiskim in Eretz Yisrael, they all assume that the halacha follows Rashi and the Tosfos' Rid's understanding of the mitzvah, that there's actually, inherently, the land has to rest, similar to the mitzvah of Shlisas Behemtoi, that your animal has to rest on Shabbos, and that your kelim, your utensils, have to rest on Shabbos, according to Beis Shammai, and that would mean that it's biblically forbidden to hire someone to work the land, or to rent your land out to a non-Jew, because you as the owner have a responsibility to see to it that your land is resting. The prohibition is not on the laborer, it's the responsibility of the owner of the field, mitzad the karka itself. Now we have a few interesting questions. The poiskim, and this is brought in Derech Emuna from Avchaim Kamenevsky, so what happens if I plant before Shemitah and it takes root on Shemitah? So actually the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about Tosfos Shemitah, that there's a halacha l'moshe m'sinai to add an extra 30 days onto Shemitah, but the Gemara says in Moed Katan that halacha l'moshe m'sinai only applies during the times of the Beis HaMikdash. We learned in previous shiurim that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is only the Rabbanan. I was just going to say that someone asked that Shemitah nowadays is the Rabbanan. So by the way, even though Shemitah nowadays is the Rabbanan, the assumption, the premise of this entire shiur and of the Paiskim is that the Rabbanan pattern, they pattern the mitzvah of Shemitah after whatever the deraisa mitzvah Shemitah is. That's why we're allowed to assume that whatever the nature of the mitzvah is on a biblical level, that would also be the nature of the mitzvah rabbinically. That's why we're making that jump from a deraisa to a derabbanan. But you're allowed to plant the field right before Shemitah because Tosfos Shemitah, the additional 30 days before Shemitah, doesn't apply today. So imagine if I plant my field right before Shemitah, right before Rosh Hashanah, and then it's going to take root a few days later on Rosh Hashanah. Is that considered that I indirectly caused my land to work on Shemitah? That's a suffix in the Poskim. Am I in violation? Am I in compliance with my land resting? So some have the argument, no, because you caused your land to work. You're causing your land to take root, to root the plants. Others say, no, because it's only considered the land is not resting if somebody's working the land, not the owner. But if there's human intervention, somebody is working the land, that's when you consider that the land is working, even though it's not the owner. I'm sitting over here. But if somebody is working my land, that's considered that my land is working. But if I planted up the land before and it's taking root by itself on Shemitah, that might not even be considered that the land is working. And the place can have a raya. Does it say anywhere that you have to go through your field with a fine-tooth comb to make sure that there is no random seeds or something lying? Very often, invariably, when you're harvesting the land, so seeds fall, things fall, fertilizer fall. Is there any mitzvah to clean up your land, Erev Shemitah, to make sure that things don't grow and take root on their own? So that's the argument here, that that's not even considered that the land is not resting. The land is considered working when somebody's working the land. So this idea would be that the owner of the land is in violation, even if somebody else is working the land, but it might require some kind of human intervention. Otherwise, it's just considered that things are just happening by themselves. It's just natural, and it's not considered that the land is working. The Poskim want to know, imagine if you're living in Eretz Israel, and you have a chelek and a sadeh tziburi. So, for example, you're in a co-op. You're in some sort of shared apartment where you own your apartment. It's some kind of co-op where you own your apartment and you pay your fees, and there's gardens or there's lawns where you technically have a portion in the land. So what if that moshav or whatever or that development is not keeping the laws of Shemitah properly, and they have somebody coming and mowing the lawn or doing other labor, tending to the gardens of the apartment building? So you as a tenant or you as owning part of the co-op, Would you be obligated to stop them? So basically the answer is that you might very well have to be mafkir. We might have to apply what we learned earlier. If your animal is in the hands of a non-Jew and you suspect that he's working your animal on Shabbos, so we mentioned that you're going to have to be mafkir your animal before. So if you're living in a place where the laws of Shemitah are not being kept and people are working your land, so the Poskim debate, it's a very strong possibility that you would have to actually be mafkir your portion, like chametz on Pesach. You're going to have to be mafkir your portion of the land in order that you should be in compliance with your land resting. However, the Poskim say, and this is continuing the analogy to an animal on Shabbos, if all that's being performed are isurei derabbanan, are rabbinic prohibitions. Now again, the whole Shemitah nowadays might be rabbinic, but we still divide what are biblical malachas and rabbinic malachas. If only rabbinic malachas are being performed on the land, there's a whole list of rabbinic malachas in the beginning of Maseches Moikatan. So then the analogy to Shvisis Pehemtoi continues again, that you might not be responsible to be mafkir. So just like the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos, that they never decreed rabbinic malachas on the animal. You only have to allow the animal to rest from biblical malachas. So the analogy would continue that you only have to allow the land to rest from the biblical malachas, but not from the rabbinic malachas. So I'm not allowed to be in violation of the rabbinic malachas, but if someone else is performing rabbinic malachas on the land, rabbinic avodos on the land, the owner would still be in compliance. Let's end off with the question that we started with. Would there be any kind of mitzvah or any kind of inyan to deliberately purchase a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill the mitzvah of allowing it to rest? So I think after this year, we can sort of come to the conclusion ourselves. Let's go through it ourselves. According to Tosfos and the Rambam, that the whole mitzvah saseh and the whole lo saseh is on the gavra. That means that if you work the land, you're in violation. If you don't work the land, then you're not in violation. So you know what this would be like? Am I required to purchase a piece of chazir in order to fulfill the mitzvah of not eating the chazir, right? I don't think anybody would say that. It's just if you get up and you perform the malachas, the labors, then you're in violation. The asay and the lois asay. There's no fulfillment here. It's sort of like a negative commandment. It's a positive commandment to abstain, not to violate the laws of Shemitah. So I wouldn't have to purchase a piece of land in order to not work the land. Just like there's no obligation to purchase a piece of non-kosher food in order to fulfill the mitzvah of not eating the non-kosher food. So there would be no mitzvah to purchase a piece of land in order to not violate the rules of working the land. However, if we understand, like Rashi and the Tosfos Rid and the Minchas Chinuch and the Marshal, that there's a positive commandment to allow the field to lie fallow, that the field should rest, then we can entertain the notion that there will be an inyan, there will be a fulfillment to own a piece of land in Eretz Israel, a piece of land that you're responsible for, and allow it to rest. Because according to the Minchas Chinuch and according to according to Rashi and the Tosfos Rid, if somebody else works my land, it's not on the Gavra, then I'm still in violation. I have a responsibility to see to it that my land is rested. So someone could argue, we can entertain the thought that if you own a piece of land and you're keeping your responsibility of allowing it to lie fallow, you're actually fulfilling a mitzvah. However, the analogy would be, is everybody careful? You know, people might have the notion they have a love of the land, they want to purchase a piece of Eretz Israel. But would anybody purchase an animal? Does everybody go out and buy a cow in order to fulfill the mitzvah of having the cow rest on Shabbos? So even according to Rashi and the Tosfos Rid, seemingly, just as we're not careful to purchase an animal in order to fulfill the mitzvah of the animal resting on Shabbos, so seemingly the analogy would be that it's not something people do to purchase a piece of land in order to fulfill a mitzvah of having the land rest. Not to say that it's not a beautiful thing to own land in Eretz Israel, but to go ahead and purchase a piece of land in order to fulfill the mitzvah, that would be analogous to purchasing a cow to make sure that you fulfill the mitzvah of allowing your cow to rest on Shabbos. So that's the two perspectives how to view the mitzvah of Vishavsa Ha'aretz. We should all be zoicha for the Emes HaMashiach when we can all own our Dalet Amis in Eretz Yisrael and fulfill all the mitzvahs HaTluyas Ha'aretz properly b'mheira v'yomeinu. Yashar Koyach.
Amen. Yashar Koyach.
This conference